जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय जय गोपी जन बालब जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन जय गोपी जन बालब जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन जय यशोदनंदन जय ब्रज जनरंजन जय ब्रज जनरंजन जय यशोदन जय यशोदनंदन जय ब्रज जनरंजन जय ब्रज जनरंजन जय यशोद जय यमुना तीरवनचारे जय कुंज बिहारे जय यमुना जय यमुना तीरवनचारे जय कुंज बिहारे जय जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय जय गोपी जन बालब जय गिरिवर धारे जय गिरिवर धारे जय गोपी जय गोपी जन बालब Jaya Giri Varadare, Jaya Giri Varadare, Jaya Goti Jana. Jaya Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Janaranjana, Jaya Braja Janaranjana, Jaya Yashoda. Jaya Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Janaranjana, Jaya Braja Janaranjana, Jaya Yashoda. Jaya Yamuna Siravanachari, Jaya Kunjade Hari, Jaya. Jaya Yamuna Siravanachari, Jaya Kunjade Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunjade Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunjade Hare. Jaya Radha. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunjade Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Mishnu Paramahansa Parivrakacharya Stuta Sushimat. Esse Bhaktivinoda Swami Sleva Upara Ki. Jaya Mishnu Paramahansa Parivrakacharya Stuta Sushima Bhakti Siddhanta Sesta Gupu Para Ki Ananta Koti Vashna Vrindaki Iska Fandai Chesla Pupara Ki Nama Chaya Sharidas Thaku Ki Grantra Shrim Bhagavatam Ki Samavita Bhaktar Vrindaki Mitaya Gopi Menandi All glorious to the seven devotees. Our glorious lotus feet of Sri Guru Aguranga. Narayana Namaskritya Narai Chaiva Narottama Devam Sasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraje Nasapaye Swabhadresu Mintya Bhagavata Sivaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavati Nashtiki Vede Ramani Chaiva Purani Bharati Tathadan Chamade Chahari Sabatagiyati Mokam Karativa Chalan Pangu Langyati Giri Yakipataham Vandeshi Guru Dunatarini Paramananda Madhava Dharma Projito Katavota Paramonium Shunsetum Veda Vastupam Vata Vastu Shvadun Tabatayu Mulanam Shima Bhagavati Mahamuni Kitin Kiva Impera Ishvara Sadhuridi Avarita Kujibita Kishanans Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 24, text 62, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. Kriya Kalapai Idam Eva Yoginaha Sada Amvita Sadhu Yajanti Siddhaye Bhuta Indriya Antakaranam Upalakshitam Vedi Cha Tantra Cha Te Eva Kovida Kriya Kapa Idam Eva Yogina. Shadam Vita Sadhu Jayanti Siddhaye Bhutendriyantah Karanopalakshitam Vedecha Tantrecha Taeva Kovidha Kriya Kapal Kalapaidameva Yogina Shradam Vita Sadhu Ajanti Siddhaye Bhutendriyanta Karanopalakshitam Vedecha Tantrecha Taeva Kovidha. Chant. Kriya Kalapa Idam Eva Yogina. Sadam vita sadhu yajanti siddhaye Matajis. Kriya activities, kalapai, by processes, idam, this, eva, certainly, yoginaha, transcendentalist. Shraddham Vitaha, with faith and conviction. Sadhu, properly. Yajanti, worship. Siddhaye, for perfection. Bhuta, the material energy. Indriya, senses. Antakarana, heart. Upalakshitam, symptomized by. Vede, in the Vedas. Cha, also. Tantra, in the corollaries of the Vedas. Cha, also. Te, your lordship. Eva, certainly. Kovida, those who are experts. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. My dear Lord, your universal form consists of all five elements, the senses, mind, intelligence, force ego, which is material, and the Paramatma, your partial expansions, who is the director of everything. Yogis other than the devotees, namely the Kama Yogi and Jnana Yogi, worship you by their respective actions in their respective positions. It is stated both in the Vedas and in the Shastras that are corollaries of the Vedas, and indeed everywhere, that it is only you who are to be worshipped. That is the expert version of all the Vedas. Purport. In a previous verse, Lord Shiva wanted to see the form of the Lord, which the devotees are always interested in. There are other forms of the Lord manifest in the material world, including Brahma and other demigods, and these are worshipped by materialistic persons. In the second canto, third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that those who desire material benefits are recommended to worship different types of demigods. And in conclusion, the Bhagavatam recommends Akama Sava Kamova Moksha Kama Udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yagetam Purushan Param. The devotees, the jnanis, who are known as Moksha Kama, and the Kamis, who are known as Shabakama, are all aspiring to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Even when one performs yagas, as stated here, Kriya Kalapai Jaya, he should always remember that the demigods are both agents of the Supreme Lord. Actually, the worshipful Lord is Vishnu, Jagneshwara. Thus, even when different demigods are worshipped in the Vedic and Tantric sacrifices, the actual goal of sacrifice is Lord Vishnu. Therefore, from Bhagavad Gita 9:23, it is said, Ye Panya Devata Bhakta Yajanti Sadayam Vita Tepi Mameva Kanteya Yajanti Avidipuvakam. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but is offered without true understanding. Thus, the worshippers of various demigods also worship the Supreme Lord, but they do so against the regulative principles. The purpose of the regulative principles is to satisfy Lord Vishnu. In the Vishnu Puran, the very same thing is confirmed. Vanasram charanam vata purushena parapumahan Vishnu aradite pantha nanyatata shakaranam. Here it is clearly mentioned that the kami, jnani or yogi, in fact everyone, worship Lord Vishnu if he's actually expert in knowledge of the Vedas and Tantras. The word Kovida is very significant, for it indicates the devotees of the Lord. Only the devotees know perfectly that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is all-pervading. Within the material energy, he is represented by the five material elements, as well as the mind, intelligence, and ego. He is also represented by another energy, the living entities, and all these manifestations in the spiritual and material world combined are but representations of the different energies of the Lord. The conclusion is that the Lord is one and that is expanded in everything. This is understood by the Vedic version, Sarvam Kalamidam Brahma. One who knows this concentrates all his energy in worshipping Lord Vishnu. Gurave Gurachandraya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishna Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Om Agana Trimandasya Gana Gana Shalaka Chakshmitayana Tasmasya Gurave Namaha Vanchaka Patrabhischa Kripasya Vichya Parita Namo Krishna Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. So, of course, we're going to discuss two topics this morning. I will speak a little bit on this verse of the Bhagavatam, and then we're going to do some discussion on the Erev Panchami, because today is Erev Panchami, the fifth day from the Rath Yatra day. And of course, another event that just happened this morning is one of our senior devotees in Vrindavan, Ahindra Prabhu, we just learned that he just left his body this morning. So it's kind of a sad news. Anyway, he left his body in Vrindavan. So that's good. So, Lord Shiva is speaking here. Kriya kalapa idameva yoginam tratsadam shadam vita sadhu yajanti shidaye bhutendriyana karanopalakshitam vide chatanti chataiva kovidha. My dear Lord, your universal form consists of all five elements, the senses, mind, intelligence, false ego, which is material, and the Paramatma, your partial expansion, who is the director of everything. Yogis other than the devotees, namely the Kama Yogi and Jnana Yogi, worship you by their respective actions in their respective positions. It is stated both in the Vedas and in the Shastras that are corollaries of the Vedas, and indeed everywhere, that it is only you who are to be worshipped. That is the expert version of all the Vedas. So Lord Shiva is speaking. Okay, Lord Shiva is actually the highest authority when it comes to the science of knowing the absolute truth. He is the greatest authority. It's mentioned in the Yamaraj says, Swayambhu Narada Sambhu is discussed the Mahajans. There are 12 Mahajans, and Lord Shiva is one of them. But actually, Lord Shiva is actually above everyone else. So, here Lord Shiva is saying that it is only you who are to be worshipped. Because sometimes people have different understanding of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva's position is not really easy to understand. In one sense, Lord Shiva is actually God. Another sense, he's also a devotee. One sense, he's God himself, but at the same time, he's not God. So there's what we call Shiva Tattva. So Brahma Samhita says, Kiran Yatu Dahi Vikara Visesa Yoga Sanjaya Yatu Naitate Pita Asi Yetu Ya Sambhuta Pitata Samapatika Yat Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bajami. So this is Lord Shiva. Just like when milk is turned to yogurt, So one sense, the yogurt has all the constituents of milk. But at the same time, milk and yogurt are separate, even though they have the same composition. But at the same time also, yogurt is yogurt, milk is milk. It's not the same dahi. So similarly also, Lord Shiva is a transformation of Krishna, of God. You know? But at the same time, even though it's a transformation of the Supreme Lord, He is not the Supreme Lord. He is not the ultimate. Just like one devotee was writing yesterday about, he was talking about how Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, when they were doing their preaching, they emphasized this point that Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know. Sometimes they said that what is the point of saying Godhead? You know. Because the very fact that there are all kinds of devas, especially when you talk of a personality like Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is not an ordinary deva. Actually, Lord Shiva, he can destroy all the demigods combined if he wants. So he's above, that's what it's called Mahadev. Mahadev means he's the great God, the greatest God, greatest devas. So he's not an ordinary deva. But at the same time, he's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is still Bhagavan Swami. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Shiva himself, he is saying here, it's that only you are to be worshipped, nobody else. So there was one time, Lord Shiva actually approached Krishna. He made a request. He said, I want to be more worshipped than you. He made a request to Krishna that, Krishna, I want to be more worshipped than you. So Krishna, because Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee of the Lord, and whatever devotees desires, Krishna fulfills. So Krishna said, okay, tatastu, whatever it is, that's it. You know? And then he was asked, why normally devotees want to see everyone worship his worshipable Lord. A devotee doesn't want to be worshipped. He wants everyone to worship the Supreme Lord. When we are preaching so that people can come and worship the Lord. We don't preach that, okay, you come and worship me. You know, just like, you know, here in India, there are so many, many gods, many, many yogis. They want to get some perfection. They think, no, people should not worship them, and now they have become God. Anyway, so Lord Shiva was asked, why is he asking to be more worshipped than him, said, than the Supreme Lord? So Lord Shiva replied that, because in this world, people say they want to worship you, they want to worship Krishna. But actually, they have no sincerity. Hardly anyone actually wants to worship the Lord. In terms of doing bhakti. When you talk of bhakti. So Srila Rupa Goswami, when he defined bhakti, he said, Anyam bilasita sunyo gyana kamadi anabritam. Anyam bilasita. Anyam means other, any other things. Which means the real bhakti is the one that has no motivation whatsoever. Which means there is no other ultimate, no hidden motive whatsoever in rendering bhakti. Anya bila sita sunya gyana kamadi adi. When you put this word adi, means so many, many, many things. And what is bhakti? Bhakti means Krishna no silana, Krishna no sil, which means what is pleasing to Krishna. What is favorable for Krishna? That's what bhakti is. However, in this material world, no one actually have the real intention to actually worship. Everyone is coming to God because they want something. Everyone's coming to God because they want something. So that's why the Bhagavad Gita location said that Samahatma Sudula. They said it's very, very rare to find a single person who is actually a true devotee of the Lord. And also, as mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the other Leela, that the Lord also does not easily grant bhakti to one. Because when, as mentioned, that Sri Krishna Kashati, that bhakti, it attracts Krishna himself. Krishna Kashati means bhakti, even though Krishna is all attractive, but bhakti attracts Krishna. And because the Lord does not easily grant bhakti to anyone, because the Lord himself, he actually becomes servant of his devotee. So because the Lord becomes servant of his devotee, so therefore he is not easily granted. And because the Brijabasis, they are the true bhaktas, they are the true lover of Krishna, and that's why it's mentioned that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, because that's where you find the true devotees. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describing that, how do you worship Krishna? He said, Aradyo Bhagavan Braja. He said that if you want to worship Krishna, you have to follow the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So, because most people, when they say they want to render bhakti, they are simply pretenders. You know, pretenders. Everybody wants something. Some motivation is always there. So that's why, because of this, that's why Lord Shiva made this request to Lord Krishna that let people worship me. Because when they worship me, they will get purified. When they worship me. Because Lord Shiva is, you know, is actually his own Sampradaya. So that's why, because of this, you see Lord Shiva's temple is everywhere. Every corner there is Lord Shiva temple. It's like here and there. Everywhere there is Shiva temple. Whereas, you always see a temple of Lord Krishna. Very rare. Not too many. Apart from ISKCON temples, you don't see that many Krishna temples. Not too many. At most, we see Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan temples, so many of them. Because people worship Narayan, you know, because they get money for worshiping Lakshmi Narayan. And also, why there are so many Shiva temples? Also, because people worship Lord Shivaji, and then they worship him, you know, they get all their material benefit fulfilled also. They get all their material benefit. Whereas, when you are a devotee of Krishna, you don't get material benefit. As a matter of fact, those who worship Krishna become poor. You know. You become poor, those who worship Krishna. That's why Srila Prabhupada always quoting this verse in the 10th canto, that, Yashanu Grahan, what is that verse? Karishita, you know. That, when someone becomes a devotee, the first manifestation of my mercy is that I take away everything he has. I take away everything so that that person becomes rejected by the society. And when he has nobody else to turn to, he can only but surrender to me. You see? So that's why Krishna is called Hari. Hari means he takes away everything. He takes away everything from you. Of course, he takes away everything from you only when you see that you actually become serious in wanting to be a devotee. Whereas, if you are simply a materialistic person, want to worship Krishna, he actually fulfills your materialistic desires. But if you see your sincerity, then it takes away what you have. You see? Because that's sometimes, it's not that, oh, okay, if I worship Krishna, I'm going to become poor. Actually, the Acharya, they say, Akama Sava Kamava, Moksha Kama Udaradi, Tivinam Bhakti Yogina, Yagitam Purusham Param, that if you have all desires, still you can worship the Lord. It doesn't mean that you have to. It's not just mean that you cannot worship him just because you have desire. You can still worship him. If you worship him, your desires will be fulfilled. You know, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he made that request once to Lord Krishna. So he told Lord Krishna that, please, I want you to make me the biggest emperor. The best emperor on the planet. And also, I want you to give me the most beautiful woman as my wife. And all that. So when Krishna said that, okay, why are you asking this question? So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he said that because people, they have a misunderstanding of a devotee of Krishna. But when people see me, that, oh, I'm a great emperor. My wife is the most beautiful woman on the planet. So they're going to say, oh, look at Yudhishthira Maharaj. He has everything. He has a great empire. He's also, his wife is very beautiful. So therefore, at the same time, he's a devotee of Krishna. So if he can be a devotee of Krishna, why I also can also be a devotee of Krishna? So therefore, whatever desire we have, we can still worship the Lord. However, the moment we start becoming serious as devotee, the moment we start realizing that, oh, all these material things does not really give any happiness. So from that time on, the Krishna started removing everything from us. Because, why is he removing everything from us? Because the wealth followers, whatever, they become great impediments on the part of bhakti. They became great impediments. We've all heard about the story of the touchstone. A person who was in Vrindavan, he wanted to become very rich. He wanted to become very wealthy. And then so they told him that he should go to Sanatana Goswami, who is on the bank of Yamuna, doing his bhajan. That Sanatana Goswami, he has a touchstone. And that touchstone, you know, you have it, you can have everything. So this person, he went to the bank of Yamuna and found Sanatana Goswami. And asked Sanatana Goswami that, I heard that you have a touchstone, so please give me that touchstone so that I can become very rich. Sanatana Goswami himself, he's living as a poor person on the bank of Yamuna. He has no house, no nothing, just simply doing his bhajan. So when this person asked Sanatana Goswami that, please give me this touchstone, Sanatana Goswami replied that, oh, what do you mean touchstone? I'm a sadhu, I have nothing, I don't have no touchstone. So this person said, no, I heard people say that you have this touchstone, please give me. And Sanatana Goswami said, oh, actually, yes, you are right. There was one day, I was in Bank of Yamuna. That day happened to be a very bad day for me. Because as I was in the bank of Yamuna, the water keep brushing at my feet, this touchstone. So this touchstone, I simply pick it up and I put it in the mud. So if you can find it, you know, that's up to you. So this person, following this Sanatana Goswami's advice, he finally touchstone. So he got a touchstone. Of course, with touchstone, everything you touch become gold. So he became very rich. He has everything. But at the same time, even though he has everything, he finds that he's not happy. So he went back to Sanatana Goswami that you must have something much more wonderful than this touchstone. Otherwise, why will you throw it away? You must have something much more wonderful than this touchstone. So Sanatana Goswami told him, okay, if you want something more wonderful than this touchstone, first of all, throw this touchstone away first. Throw it away. Then when you throw it away, then you come back to me, then I will tell you something that is much more wonderful. So of course, because this fellow has faith in Sanatana Goswami, so he threw it away, he went back to Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami simply said, take Harinam. That is the real wealth. Harinam is Prem Dana. You have this wealth, you get the real wealth. That's the real wealth, not this so-called material wealth. So that's just a short story. So when we become serious in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna wealth removes everything. So Lord Shiva, so he's praying here. He's making this prayer and he's teaching the prachetas. So that, because Lord Shiva being the greatest authorities, so if the prachetas, because they want to understand the absolute truth, so Lord Shiva is indicating that only the Supreme Lord Krishna, he is the supreme absolute truth, and he is the only one who is to be worshipped. And also he mentioned here that that is the expert version of all the Vedas. In there's one verse that said that Vede Ramane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adu Adwancha Madeche Hari Savatagayate. Like in all the Vedic scriptures, Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, everything from Mahabharata, beginning to the end, only the Supreme Lord is to be worshipped. Only the Supreme Lord is to be glorified. That's actually the purpose of the Vedic. That's the purpose of the Vedic scriptures. You know, even in the Vedas, whereby there is a recommendation of the worship of various demigods, that if you want a particular thing, worship this particular demigods. But that is not the real intention of the Vedas. And this was explained by Srila Vyasadeva when he was in the Vedanta Sutra. In the Govinda Bhashya commentary, however, it's explained that even though different personalities might have been mentioned, that you worship Indra or you worship Suryadev, but actually it's not that particular person who the worship is indicating. It's actually that person who is the source of Indra that meant to be worshipped, not that person who is called himself the King of Heaven. So it mentioned here that Yepi Anya Devata Bhaktia Yajante Sodayam Vita Tepi Mam Eva Konte Ya Yajanti Avid Puvakam. That whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. So of course the demigod themselves, so they know this. So this is just because I have to discuss on the Erepanchene. Time is gone. So basically, the conclusion here is that Lord Shiva is talking. He said that the location is to be worshipped, not himself. So we have to follow the guidance of the Srimad Bhagavatam, wherever Lord Shiva himself is speaking here. So today's Erepanchami. Erepanchami is the fifth day from the Rathiya today. So called Erepanchami. It's very interesting because today is the day when this is the fifth day after Lord Jagannath had gone to Vrindavan. Because you have Nilachala and then you have Sundarachala or Gundicha. The Rathiyatras taking Jagannath from the Jagannath temple and they take him to Sundarachala or Gundicha Mandir, whereby Jagannath supposed to be resting for a period of 8 or 9 days. Supposed to be resting. Actually, Jagannath is Krishna himself. Jagannath is Krishna. It's called Krishna Viraha Vidu. Viraha Vigraha Vidu. It's whereby Krishna is feeling separation. And from that mood of separation, his body become transformed. Whereby, his eyes become very big. His hand enters his body, like that. Krishna Viravigraha. So because Krishna is always feeling an intense separation from Brijabasi, especially from the gopis. So, because this separation becomes so intolerable, that Krishna decided to go to Vrindavan. He decided to go to Vrindavan. Now, because Krishna is with Lakshmi Devi, so Krishna knew that if he told Lakshmi Devi that he's going to Vrindavan, Lakshmi will not allow him. So Krishna said, "Okay, I'm sick. So I'm sick. I'm not feeling well. So therefore, I need to go and take rest somewhere." So with the pretense of being sick, so Krishna left Nilachala and went to Sundarachala, whereby he's able to have the association of the Brijabasi. And then, because why is it that Baladev and Subhadra, why is that they went with Krishna to Vrindavan? Why did go with him? Why not just Krishna go himself? Why did Baladev and Subhadra went with him? Can somebody explain why he went with him? Why they went with him? Any reason why Baladev and Subhadra went with Krishna, Jagannath? Why? No. They went together. They were on the chariot together, going to Sundarachala. Why is that? Anyway, the thing is that because Lakshmi Devi, she's very jealous, of course. She's especially very jealous of the gopis of Vrindavan. So if Krishna were to go on his own, Lakshmi Devi will not believe him. She'll be very suspicious. So in order not to allow Lakshmi Devi to be suspicious, so Krishna took with him Baladev and Subhadra, so that Lakshmi Devi should know that okay, Baladev, Subhadra, they are going with Krishna, so Krishna will not be able to do any activities with the gopis. He will not be able to do anything because Krishna will not dance with the gopis in front of Baladev. He will not do that. Nor will he do that when Subhadra is there, his sister. However, when Krishna and Baladev Jagannath and Baladev Subhadra, when they arrive in Sundarachala, in Vrindavan, that's a Vrindavan. So Krishna simply left Baladev and Subhadra with Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, and went off on his own to the gopis and doing his lila, his pastimes. So in this way, so Krishna was able to relish the association of the gopis, whereby Lakshmi Devi, she had no suspicion of that. So after the fifth day, when this has been going on, so Lakshmi Devi, she became worried. She said, "What happened? My husband has gone for the last 5 days now. What happened?" And then she became angry. She became angry, and then she decided to attack the servant of Jagannath. "How could you kidnap my husband? My husband has been kidnapped. How could you kidnap him?" So this lila is going to be released by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This lila is going to be released by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's going to be a very interesting discussion between Swarup Damodara and Shiva's Pandit. So Swarup Damodara is Lalita Devi, is Lalita, and Shiva's Pandit is Nadamuni himself, who represents the Aishwarya Bhav. So I'm going to do some reading here, and then we have some explanation in between. But this is very, very interesting. Because today, maybe many of you, when you get back to your ashram, you should read this chapter 14 of Madhalila. This is the discussion of Erapanchami is there. So you should read this. You should read this today. It's very, very interesting. So Erapanchami Radina Hoylo Janeya Kasimisi Kohe Raja Sanyatra Korea. Knowing that the Erapanchami festival was drawing near, King Prataparudra attentively talked with Kashyamistra. "Tomorrow will be the function of Erapanchami or Lakshmi Vijay. Hold this festival in a way that it has never been held before." King Prataparudra said, "Hold this festival in such a gorgeous way that upon seeing it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be completely pleased and astonished. Take as many printed cloths, small bells, umbrellas, and chamaras as there are in my storehouse and in the deity's storehouse. Collect all kinds of small and large flags and ringing bells. Then decorate the carrier and have various musical and dancing parties accompany it. In this way, decorate the carrier attractively. You should also double the quantity of prasad. Make so much that it will even surpass the Rath Yatra festival. Arrange the festival in such a way that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may freely go with all his devotees to visit the deity without difficulty." So, unquote. In the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his personal associate with him to see Lord Jagannath at Sundarachala. So as mentioned before, Nilachala is like Dwarka, and Sundarachala is Vrindavan. Because Krishna left Dwarka, now he is not Vrindavan now. Okay. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associate, personal devotees, returned to Nilachala with great eagerness to see the Erapanchami festival. Kashyamistra received Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great respect, and taking the Lord and his associates to a very nice place, he had them seated. After taking his seat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to hear about a particular mellow of devotional service. Therefore, mildly smiling, he began to question Swarup Damodara. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Although Lord Jagannath enjoys his pastimes in Dwarka Dham and naturally manifests sublime liberality there, still, once a year, he becomes unlimitedly eager to see Vrindavan. Pointing out the neighboring gardens, Sichidama Prabhu said, all these gardens exactly resemble Vrindavan. Therefore, Lord Jagannath is very eager to see them again. Externally, he gives the excuse that he wants to participate in the Rathiyatra festival, but actually, he wants to leave Jagannath Puri to go to Sundarachala, the Gurudeva temple, a replica of Vrindavan. So, Rathiyatra, it simply means that because Jagannath, it's just an excuse for him, because he wants to go to Vrindavan. So, that's actually what Rathiyatra means. That Krishna wants to go to Vrindavan because he wants to be with his premier bhaktas. Because Vrindavan and Mathura or Dwarka both have two different bhavs. So Vrindavan is Madhurya bhav and Dwarka Dham is Ashwaya bhav. So even though the Krishna is there in Dwarka with his so many queens, so many years, 16,108 queens. But at the same time, Krishna is never really happy being in Dwarka. Many, many times in the middle of the night, Krishna will always be chanting, Gopi, 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 Radhe, 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 when he's sleeping in the middle of the night. Even though all his wives, they are the most beautiful, whatever, the very being the Satyabhama, Rukmini. So, Krishna is sleeping beside them, but it will be simply be chanting Gopi, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. So sometimes Satyabhama, Rukmini, they will be wondering, why Krishna keep saying this? Gopi is sleeping beside us and he's chanting some other lady's name. I mean, we have all the beauty, we have everything. What is it that Krishna sees in us? And what is that Krishna sees in the gopis that he doesn't see in us? Actually, they ask Krishna this question. They ask him, why is it that you always meditate on the gopis? Why? What is it that you see in them that you don't see in us? And Krishna replied, he said that you can't understand. He said, you can't understand. Gopis said, what do you mean we can't understand? He said, you can't understand. The love of the gopis, the love they have for me, you cannot understand. So the Rukmini said, of course, we have so much love for you. What is that we can't understand? And Krishna says that what the gopis can do, you cannot do that. Things like forsaking society. What is society will think of you? They've given up everything. They've given up their own dharma, their own everything, just for the sake of Krishna. But you, the queens, you cannot do the same thing. So the Rukmini settlement, they say, okay, they challenge Krishna. They say, okay, why don't you try us? Just try us. Krishna said, okay. And then when Krishna asked, what is it that you do that made the gopis so attractive to you? So Krishna said that each time I play my flute, the gopis will come running to the forest, everything. So the queen, they said, okay, we can also do the same thing. You can also come to the forest and I meet you there in the forest. So Krishna said that, are you sure of that? He said, sure. Okay. So one night, they selected one night. So in the midnight, Krishna went to the bank of, he went to the shore of Dwarka in the sea and he started playing his flute in midnight. So when Krishna started playing his flute at midnight, so the queens, so they heard Krishna's flute. They said, okay, now let's go and run and meet Krishna. But these queens, they are very respectable ladies. They have to dress up nicely. You know? They're very, very so they have to dress up nicely before they can go out because aristocratic ladies. They don't just go out like that. They have to dress themselves nicely, nice makeup. So they did all that in the time to go meet, before they go and meet Krishna. And then, when they try to go out of the palace, when they see so many people, the guards, they say that, oh no, the respectable ladies cannot just go out of the palace. Whereas the gopis, when they hear Krishna's flute, no matter what state they are in, dressing stage, immediately they run and go to meet Krishna in the forest. They don't care who is there, who is looking at them. They just run and meet Krishna. Whereas the queens, you know, like because the queens, because of their Ashwarya Mahi Bhav, they cannot do that. They cannot do the same thing. When Lakshmi Devi, she was performing so much tapasya. If you go to Vrindavan, you go to Belvan. You know, you've been to Belvan, other side of Yamuna. Where there's a place where Lakshmi Devi, where she was performing in Atapasya. So she was performing austerity so that she can be in the Raslila. And as she was doing that, Yogamaya, she came to Lakshmi Devi and asked her that, okay, so you're performing austerity that so that you can be in the Raslila. So Rigma told her that, look, you have no qualification in order to be in the Rasalila. And then Lakshmi Devi, she asked Yogamaya that, what can I do so in order for me to be in the Rasalila? So Yogamaya told her that, first of all, you have to take birth in the womb of the gopi. You have to take birth in their womb. And secondly, you have to take somebody else as your husband. Lakshmi Devi said, no, that's not possible. She's Narayan's wife. I cannot take anybody else as my husband. He said, no, you have to take somebody else as you have to marry to a gopa, and then you'll be sneaking out every night to go and meet Krishna. You cannot, so Lakshmi Devi said, no, he said, that's not possible. I cannot take anybody else as my husband. And secondly, you have to learn how to make cow dung. You know, cow dung is very filthy, right? I have to make cow dung. I'm says, no, I cannot do that. Come on, I'm Lakshmi. I can't do that. And then Yogamaya asked her, do you know how to make the cow? And she said, no, I don't know how to make the cow. So therefore, Lakshmi Yogamaya said, so therefore, you cannot be in the Raslila. You cannot be, it's not possible. You know? So even though because Lakshmi Devi is Lakshmi Devi, Ashwarya Bhav. You know, like that. So, the love of the gopis is completely incomprehensible to those devotees who are of the Ashwarya Bhav. They can never understand. That's why they were mentioned that when Krishna was when he was going to Vrindavan, how come he did not take the queens with him? Because he cannot take these queens with him because those do not mix. Ashwarya Bhav and Madhurya Bhav do not mix. Totally two separate, two totally different things. They don't mix together. You know. So Krishna, taking the excuse to go and be with the Brijabasi, especially the gopis, so he decided to go on the Rath Yatra. So that's actually the meaning of Rath Yatra, because Krishna decided to go and to Vrindavan, whereby we'll be there for about 8 or 9 days. So this is going on. So it's mentioned here, Saru Damodara replied, my dear Lord, please hear the reason for this. Do we have time? 9:10? Okay. It actually is a long, it's very interesting discussion actually, you know. 5 moments. Okay, I'll just do some more reading and then we can. My dear Lord, please hear the reason for this. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, cannot be admitted to the pastimes of Vrindavan. In the pastimes of Vrindavan, the only assistants are the gopis. But for the gopis, no one can attract the mind of Krishna. No one can attract Krishna's mind. The Lord said, using the calf festival as an excuse, Krishna goes there with Subhadra and Baladev. All the pastimes with the gopis that take place in those gardens are very confidential ecstasies of Lord Krishna. No one knows them. Since there is no fault at all in Krishna's pastimes, why does the goddess of fortune become angry? Saru Damodara said. Saru Damodara replied, it is the nature of a girl afflicted by love to become immediately angry upon finding any neglect on the part of her lover. So it says here, unquote. So while Saru Damodara and Sri Chaitanya Prabhu were talking, the procession of the goddess of fortune came by. She was riding upon a golden palanquin carried by four men and bedecked with a variety of jewels. The palanquin was also surrounded by people carrying umbrellas, chamarat, whisk, and flags, and it was preceded by musicians and dancing girls. The maidservants were carrying water pitchers, chamarat, whisk, and boxes for betting nuts. There were hundreds of maidservants, all attractively dressed and wearing valuable necklaces. In an angry mood, the goddess of fortune arrived at the main gate of the temple, accompanied by many members of her family, all of whom exhibited uncommon opulence. When the procession arrived, the maidservants of the goddess of fortune began to arrest all the principal servants of Lord Jagannath. The maidservant bound the servants of Jagannath, handcuffed them, and made them fall down at the lotus feet of the goddess of fortune. Indeed, they were arrested just like thieves who have all their riches taken away. When the servants fell down before the lotus feet of the goddess of fortune, they almost fell unconscious. They were chastised and made the butt jokes of jokes and loose language. When Sri Chaitanya Prabhu associate such impudence exhibited by the maidservants of the goddess of fortune, they covered their faces with their hands and began to smile. Swarup Damodara said, "There is no egoistic pride like this within the three worlds. At least, I have never seen or heard of it. When a woman is neglected and disappointed, out of egoistic pride, she gives up her ornaments and morosely sit down on the ground, making lines with her nails. I have heard of this kind of pride in Satyabhama, Krishna's proudest queen, and I have also heard of it in the gopis of Vrindavan, who are the reservoirs of all transcendental mellows. But in the case of the goddess of fortune, I see a different kind of pride. She manifests her own opulence and even goes with her soldiers to attack her husband." Anyway, because what follows is a discussion, which is very deep discussion about different type of pride, or they call it man, the kind of expressions that is there between the lovers when the lover become angry with the beloved. So this man is being explained by Swarup Damodara. So it's very interesting discussion, which goes on between. So anyway, we should read this at our spare time, this chapter, and the Madalila chapter 14. So some questions, because we don't have time. So anybody has some questions or comments about this, what we discussed today? Huh? Or maybe it was. Were you able to understand me? Huh? I'm not the best speaker in the world. Actually, I'm the worst speaker in the world when it comes to accent and other stuff. So, anyway, at least we have some little bit of information, some understanding of what is Ratheatra means. For devotees. Of course, there is external reason. There's also the internal reasons. The external reason is that Jagannath goes out and then he gives mercy to everyone, so everyone can see him once a year. But the internal reason is that Krishna really wants to go and be with his devotee in Vrindavan. That is the internal reason. So yes, we have external reason, we have internal reason. Okay. So we can stop here. Grantana Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Hare Panchami ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna, Gopi Manandu. Jai Srila Prabhupada.